Welcome to the Sailor Noob Podcast, where a super fan and a noob talk about the original Sailor Moon episode by episode. I'm your host, Mikan Hana, joined by my co-host.
I'm the co-host, Caliban, and the noob, and the old pod is a-casting. It's that time again.
It is, and we're a couple of magical people ready to moon crystal power make up this episode. Sailor Noob is brought to you by Easy, Breezy, Beautiful, Evil Girl. Yeah.
Maybe she was born evil.
Maybe.
Or maybe she...
We don't really know.
...was made that way later.
Yeah, right. Black Moon. We don't know much about it just yet. It's a place. Possibly a moon. I don't know. Possibly the color black. And they are the Black Moon clan.
Planet 10, right?
Yeah, that's right. Planet 10. That's right. I forgot.
Planet X.
Right. That, see, that's why, that's probably why they did that.
I bet it is.
It works out nicely.
It's time for the pod to start casting.
All right.
Casting about.
Okay. All right. So as I flounder about, today we are talking about episode number 70. Ai no hono no taiketsu, mazu tai koan in Japanese. Battle of the Flames of Love, Mars versus Koan, the English translation, and the English title, Enemies No More.
Enemies No More.
Yeah, that's right. Taking that enemy thing, throwing it out the window. We are getting rid of it.
I'm trying to pretend like I haven't seen the episode, but I have. Interesting. Enemies No More. I wonder... what's going to happen?
Well, seriously, I mean, I think we...
And I also wonder, all right, no, I'll go the whole way with my own thing.
Go for it.
I also wonder if it's a pattern that we're seeing, or because this one is called Enemies No More, maybe this is a one-time thing. Because otherwise it'd be Enemies No More, part two, another person.
Uh-huh.
But then I thought... Fizz never thought about that. or Deke or whoever.
Yeah.
They don't know.
No.
They did this right out the door for lunch. They're like, enemies no more. All right.
There'll be another one next week. We won't think about
tacos,
it.
Tacos.
Yeah,
exactly. It's Tuesday after all. Yeah, that's what I thought. But if you want to be our enemy no more and our friend more.
Forevermore.
Forevermore? There you go.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Edgar Allan Poe is on line two for you. You can go to our Patreon, where we've got Patreons all over the place.
Yes.
Patreons.com/Sailor Noob. We've got all kinds of stuff where you can hear our entirely new podcast, Animedification, where we talk about the first episode of a randomly selected anime series.
Yes.
What would happen if you just pulled, say, Gantz out of a hat? Are you ready? Are you ready to talk about Gantz?
I don't know that I am. I mean, I don't know. Gantz just seems like so in your face. I don't know if I would ever be ready for it.
What if you pulled What's Michael out of a hat? Could you face
what you had found? I can.
Well, anyway, we have to.
Think of the song.
You're paying us to face it, so we have to.
Yes.
Join us there, patreon.com/Sailor Noob, to get our other podcast, Animedification, also our outtakes from this show.
Yes.
Our screw-ups, our fun time stuff.
Yeah, we discussing do fun things. Fun time things.
Extra discussions. Things
rants.
That kind of go off the, rants. A lot of rants from me. Things that go off the rails.
Yeah.
And
chit-chat.
Much, much more.
Absolutely. It's a fun time.
And if it's not, you'll have fun listening to it.
Yes.
Listening to us going through a not fun time.
Oh, no.
Friends no more.
We have have a lot of fun on Animedification, and some of our characters are not necessarily having a fun time in this episode, at least not for all of it. So why don't we get into that? Would you like to break down a synopsis?
Fun is canceled.
That's right.
For this show.
Yes.
This show begins in the Rainbow Room. We waste no time. We're in the UFO, and Rubeus gets a call from Creepy Wise Guy, mm-hmm. who says, "Hey, man. Prince Demando is not happy with you." That Prince Demando.
I know.
So insistent.
Yeah. Always demanding.
Yeah.
Prince Demando.
He says, "You failed to kill the rabbit or capture the crystal points. You're running out of time. But here's a prediction for you. The Crescent Energy will appear on a sleepy afternoon at Hikawa Shrine." It's kind of vague. How do you know if an afternoon is sleepy enough? Is this it? Is this the afternoon? It's Sunday. I just did the dishes. Got a cup of chamomile tea. Cat's curled up on the bed. Is this sleepy enough? Rubeus says, "Hikawa Shrine. That's under Cohen's jurisdiction." Which makes sense, I guess, but she's been there twice before. But I haven't been paying attention to whether the sisters have jurisdictions. Like, Cohn is public spaces. Berthier, she's on retail. Calaveras, yeah. Produce.
Yeah, right.
I have not been tracking that at all.
I don't think that they really have either. This is the first time they've mentioned jurisdiction, and I had a very similar reaction. It's like, oh, I guess it would be Cohen, but
well, it's Cohen because she's Mars's counterpart,
yes,
and Rey is at the shrine.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Her destiny seems to be locked up
yes.
there.
Yeah.
Rubeus says, "Okay, got it. I'll send Cohen out." But Wise Guy says, "Hold on, prophecy part two. Something bad will happen to Cohen."
Yeah.
And Rubeus says, "I didn't catch that. I was busy being self-absorbed." Cut to Azubu Juban. Just an Ordinary Girl plays as we pan down to Eshindo Books. When you search for Eshindo on the internet, you yeah. see two things: jelly cups and model trains. The Japanese model train
what?
Company Eshindo created in 2006 the T-scale of model railway cars. They have a track gauge, that's a track width, of 3 millimeters. They are tiny, a passenger car will fit on your finger.
Oh my gosh.
And there are jelly cups made by a company called Eshindo. Not sure if it's the same company. They were recalled because of a choking hazard.
Okay, great.
So they're little cups, they're very
yeah.
small.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like a jello cup or a pudding cup, only they come in a bag. There's like 50 of them because they're tiny. So I guess you have a little fun. Well, you just suck the jello out of it. But
yes.
Kids are like, it's like choking on jello.
Okay. I don't, they actually, I've seen those that we have the Asian grocery store in town that's it's very popular.
Well, these must not be the Eshindo kind.
Probably
those
not.
Were recalled.
Yes.
No word on a bookseller, Eshindo. But here we are, outside of Eshindo Books. Rey is shopping. She's gotten Yuichiro to carry all of her boxes, and he's having some trouble with them. But Rey says, "Come on, you're a man, aren't you?"
Yeah.
Let's not try to enforce sexual stereotypes here, Rey. You're the superhero that wants to be a priest. So be a little more understanding. The two of them pass by a cosmetic store, Otofukuya, mm-hmm. the store from episode 61.
Correct.
And out walks Cohen mm-hmm. in her civilian guise.
Yes.
And this is bold. This is a bold move. Mm-hmm. She shops at the same store they essentially held up a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't her. It was
Berthier.
Berthier.
Yes.
But still.
Yes.
Nobody in this universe could ever recognize somebody after they change clothes. But it seems like you're taking a risk here.
Yes.
She's carrying a full bag of stuff. Got to keep the Ayakashi sisters in lip gloss, I guess. And she runs into Yuichiro, who can also not see where he's going. Cohen is mad as all their stuff goes everywhere, but Yuichiro is picking it up, and she thinks, "That's that same guy I met at that Protect Esthi."
Yes.
Yuichiro offers her bag, and she snatches it away from him, and she calls him pathetic, and as she walks away, she thinks, "That kind of guy will never be happy."
Mm-hmm.
Yuichiro watches her go, and Rey gets mad at him for looking at her for too long. "Hey, Rey, if you like it, put a ring on it." He says that he thinks he's seen her somewhere before, and Rey's like, "Oh, word?" Cohen arrives back in the Rainbow Room, and Rubeus is there saying, "I was waiting for you." And Cohen's like, "Oh, you were waiting for me?"
I know.
Heart, heart, heart. When did this become a thing exactly?
This is the first time we've seen it.
Okay, well,
just
better
so
late
you
than
know.
Never.
Yeah.
Better at the end than at never.
Yeah.
He puts his arms around her, and he's like, "Who else would I wait for?" And she sprung off of this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "I need you to do something for me. You have to go to Hikawa Shrine." didn't kill the rabbit. She'll be there this afternoon. So he's confident. This is the sleepy afternoon.
Yes.
Which explains his bunny slippers. Cohen says, I'll kill the rabbit, even if it costs me my life. And Rubes just says, don't screw it up.
Yeah.
All right, get out of here. I got browbeating at 10:30 with Berthier. Cohen says, wait, Master, I almost forgot. And she hands him a bottle of cologne that she bought for him at that store. Uh-huh. Rubeus looks at it and he says, thanks. I'll always cherish it. And he crushes it in his fist.
I know.
And he says, oops, looks like I gripped it too tightly. I'm real strong. And he disappears, leaving Cohen with her disappointment. This isn't Drakkar Nor. Crush.
That sounds exactly like what he would wear.
At Hakawa Shrine, Cohen is in civvies. She's walking up the steps. She thinks, I wonder what's wrong with Master Rubeus. It seems like he didn't care about me. Bitch, run!
I know!
Get help!
I know!
You gotta get out of there!
I know.
But she thinks, oh, just my imagination and my Stockholm Syndrome. Just then, Yuichiro bounds up and he goes into the whole temple pitch. Hey, what's up? We got fortune slips, talisman, prayers. Unless you're serving papers, in which case Grandpa's not here.
Oh my God.
Cohen thinks, oh, it's this pitiful dude again. She buys a fortune and she splits, and the fortune says, great luck, your wish will come true. Oh, great, she thinks. He was being mean to motivate me. What a manager! What a guy! This calls for some makeup. And she opens up her compact, but she sees Rubeus staring back at her from the mirror.
Yeah.
Now, are these like little TV screens like Penny has in Inspector Gadget? Or can he just appear in mirrors? That's terrifying.
Whoa, you just blew my mind. Because don't they like they come through mirrors?
Yeah, that's how in the UFO, they all come through the mirrors.
I don't know. I just assumed it was like their communicator. We've never seen it before, but that's a really good question.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I don't like it either.
He says, is the rabbit dead yet? Stop worrying about your makeup. Go look around for her or whatever. I'll tell you what. Just kill all the girls you see today, to be sure.
Great advice.
Too Jewish of a plan.
Ooh, whoa, but I think what?
But Herod would be proud.
Oh, no.
It's a little extreme.
Yeah.
Cohen is like, okay. But Rubeus signs off with, farewell, my love. And she's right back in.
Yeah.
Cohen is trying to decide when the wedding will be when she hears Ray screaming at Yuichiro about feeding the chickens. Classy.
I know.
And Cohen thinks, wow, I'm glad that Rubeus and I aren't like those people. We have a loving relationship. Oh, girl. Girl, no. Cut to sleepy Sunday fun time at an outdoor cafe. Minako and Makoto are eating parfaits with Luna and Artemis, and they're not loving it.
No.
Luna says that Usagi's gone to Ray's to return some comic books, and Ami is, of course, at cram school on a Sunday. And Artie's like,
good point.
We're the only ones with nothing to do. We laughs weird. It's weird. Well, maybe he should be on the phone with his lawyer. Because at Ray's place, Usagi is reading a Sailor V manga and laughing it up.
Uh-huh.
There's a weird thing. See, they could have used his laughter to match cut to her laughing, reading a book.
Yeah, you're right.
With his face on it.
You're absolutely right.
But I think it's Makoto, but it might be Minako. Somebody flicks his nose instead. And he's like, ooh. A couple things. Number one, don't abuse your cat.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Makoto's so strong, she could drive his nose into his brain and kill him. Wait, do cats' noses work like that?
I don't
know. You
know
how, like, in a kung fu movie, you're like, you know, Van Damme hits the guy in the nose, pushes his nose into his brain, kills him.
Right.
Cats have those little flat noses. Maybe you can't do that.
Let's hope that you can't do that.
Anyway, Ray comes in and she's like, you're still here reading comics? And Usagi says that she can't take it home with her because Chibi and Luna are there. Like, they'll bug you or you don't want them to read it? Like, what's happening here?
I think they're going to give her a hard time.
For reading comics?
That's what
Luna will for sure.
Luna will for sure, but I wouldn't put it past Shibuyusa either.
A woman arrives at the front door. She's a door-to-door saleswoman, like the Avon lady.
Yeah.
And she's also Cohen.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Black Moon Clan has disguise pens, but here she is in a big hat, a big tall vampire lady hat.
Yes.
With a makeup case.
Uh-huh.
And she says, oh, you two are so pretty. Are you models? And they're like, oh, wow, ma'am. Thank you. Everybody says that.
I know.
And Cohen is like, ma'am?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'm a ma'am to you?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
So she's showing them all her products.
Mm-hmm.
Why is she doing this? She's supposed to go on a little girl killing spree.
I know.
But she's trying to sell makeup. I have no idea where she got this makeup from.
Shibuyusa isn't there yet, so.
But just read a paper.
She has to find her.
You know, pull the legs off of ants or something. She asks if they've got boyfriends, and they both eventually say no. And Raid says, well, you know, her boyfriend dumped her. And Usagi says, well, he's just giving me the cold shoulder. Mm-hmm. And Ray says, loving someone means trusting them. Without that, you have no relationship. No matter how cold they are, keep loving them, and you can get them back. Ray, this is partially bad advice.
I know!
A lot of the advice, a lot of the things that people say about love, this whole episode's about that. A lot of it I'm like, really?
So it gets very muddled and confusing. Yeah. Like the first part of what she said, if you can't trust somebody, you can't be in a relationship with them. That's
right.
Good advice.
And then, right. And then she's like, make sure you, you know, lean over them when they sleep. And then they wake up and they see you looking at them. They like that.
Yeah.
It's not all great. No. Plus, you're single, Ray, so shut up.
I know.
Koan says, actually, being loved is most important to a woman. Love and trust, they don't mean that much. Never keep loving somebody who treats you coldly. Just forget him. And so hers is like the other, she's coming the other way. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then you like finish strong. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
I'm
exactly.
Clapping, I think.
Am I agreeing with you?
And also
or
take
not?
Your own advice?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm confused, but Cohen's not because then she says, and if you don't want his affections to fade, you need to use these beauty products. Yeah. Get that sale. Wait, are you here to sell makeup? Is that what she actually?
I think she got confused.
What if she had walked
too?
Away with like $50? She'd be like,
yeah.
All right, great.
She's actually pretty good at it. She got caught up in her own
scheme. Gotta buy some more cologne.
I know.
Cohen seems to wonder about this as well, because she remembers why she's actually here. And she asks, do you have any little girls here on St. James Island? It's such a weird thing to ask.
It's so weird.
Ray's like, no, no little girls here. And I think we're done. We don't want your makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
And Cohen's like, okay, bye. And she leaves. And Ray tells Usagi, first you and now that weird lady. This is an unlucky day.
Mm-hmm.
And Cohen decides, well, I'm going to have to stake this place out until the rabbit gets here.
Yes.
Now we have a commercial.
I know.
It just feels, I'm not saying it feels like long, but it's like we really get invested in this and we're still going.
Yes.
Usagi finally leaves, and as she does, she sees Chibiusa coming the other way. She tells her not to read too many comic books, but Chibi's like, that's what you were doing. Bleh. And as soon as Usagi has run off to catch the bus, Koan descends from the sky, mm-hmm. blocking Chibi's path, which now it's action. We were saving the action for after the flute
After
music.
The commercial break, yeah.
She's blocking Chibi's path. Chibi screams and tries to run, but Koan pins her down, saying, I've been waiting for you. Then she gets clocked upside the head by Yuichiro.
I know.
With his broom.
I know.
He says, what are you doing with her? But Koan is like, you hit me in the head? With a broom?
Uh-huh.
My hair! Dark fire! Yuichiro barely outruns the blast of dark fire. As Koan looms over Yuichiro, Rei throws a rock at her, and Yuichiro scrambles away to safety. Koan dark fires again, and Rei and Yuichiro are dodging around. Rei trips, and Yuichiro throws himself in front of a fire blast, knocking him to the ground. Rei's like, no! But Koan can't believe that she cares about him after she was yelling at him before.
Mm-hmm.
Yuichiro says, I can only love her in my own way. Okay. Okay, Willie Nelson.
I mean, I think he's saying, like, she might not love me, but I'm going to still, do whatever
yeah,
I can.
I don't know if the writing is skewed or if a lot of it's translation, but there's a lot of, like, statements and sentiments made about emotion in this that make you go, is that what it is? But we'll continue. Koan fires back, this girl doesn't give a damn about you. But he says, it doesn't matter. And he collapses. Rei is pissed, and she transforms into Sailor Mars right there. Koan barely has time to register that this mean girl is one of her foes before Rei blasts her with a burning mandala.
Mm-hmm.
Koan teleports away at the last second and thinks, this is a twofer. I'm going to kill the rabbit and a Sailor Scout.
Yes.
This is a good day. She leaps up and rains down dark fire. Rei blasts back with her own fire. Koan lunges at Rei, and she throws her guard up. But Koan does a Goku. She teleports behind Rei.
I know.
And gives her a huge elbow to the face. Rei is down. Koan once again fires down dark fire, and Rei has to grab Yuichiro and try to leap to safety, but she's caught and burned by some of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Darkly. It looks bad. Koan taunts her for bothering to save Yuichiro, but Rei says that she would never leave him to die. Koan says, yeah, see, this is where love gets you. And Rei realizes that she was the saleswoman.
Yes.
And she's like, remember what I said before? Wait, am I trying to disguise myself? That doesn't really matter.
I know.
And Koan says, you two don't even love each other. Rei says that she was repaying Yuichiro's sincerity. Again, Unclear, but I think in this case she means his friendship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She tries to stand, but she's too weak. Cohen says, "Your love is nothing like my love with Master Rebaeus." And Ray says, "You only love yourself." This is going on for a while.
Yeah, a long time.
Sam Wilson.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
just speechifying throughout the entire end of this thing.
I know.
"Thinking only of yourself is not true love." Cohen says, "That's not true. We love each other." Cohen thinks of the gift that Rebaeus destroyed. But she doesn't say that. She says,
"Yeah,
I don't got time for this. I'm going to kill the rabbit." And she teleports to Chibi, who's just laying there still. "Kid, get up. Run away."
She's like unconscious.
I guess.
Yeah.
She grows giant, tall vampire lady claws.
Yeah,
but
I
But before
know.
She can strike, a red rose embeds itself in the stones of the temple. Tuxedo Mask says, from atop the Tory Gate, "The image of love that shimmers in the heat waves. Now, sorrowful wanderer, listen to the beat of her heart." Even Cohen is like, "What?"
I know! And it was that, perfect.
Are those song lyrics or something?
I
have no idea what he's talking about.
I don't this know. Is it a haiku? Like, I don't really know. It seems like a poem or something.
You'd have to
like
count
that.
The syllables. Japanese syllables. But
no, you're right.
Yeah, is he just, now he's got a haiku book?
Yeah, right.
He got to the end of his joke book. He got to the end of his, song lyrics book. Yeah. And he was like, right. "I'm going to try some haikus."
Yeah. Something like that, or like a prayer, or I don't know.
"There once was a woman from Nantucket." Here's that man.
I think it is man, but if you're talking to Cohen,
dirty limerick book.
Yeah, right.
Tuxedo Mask jumps to where Chibi is lying, picks her up, and with a sadabata, he takes off.
Yes.
Cohen is like, "Hey, wait," but bitch, burning mandala!
Yeah.
"You took your eye off the ball!" Cohen is blasted by Ray, who says, "Nah, you're fighting me." Mm-hmm. Rebaeus appears above the temple. He says, "Cohen, did you kill the rabbit?" And Cohen is like, almost? And Rube says, "I see. Thank you for working for me for so long. But this is where I leave you. Mm-hmm. I have your information."
Mm-hmm.
Cohen is like, "No, I'll kill Ray. She's right here." But Rube says, "Yeah, you're not strong enough to do that." And Cohen says, we could kill her together. It'd be fun. I have a gun in the UFO. I get it. Come back. Bam." But Rebaeus is having none of it. He says, "I'm unlucky to have such a bad employee." And Cohen is hit hard by this.
Mm-hmm.
She believes in professionalism,
yes.
Apparently. "You love me, right?" she pleads. But he says, "Love? An absurd thing like love doesn't belong in our glorious clan." And Ray is just kind of watching this. You think she could maybe another burning mandala? But no, she's,
yeah, good
she's
point.
Taking this in.
Maybe, I'm going to let them finish.
Call an ambulance for you, Chiro.
Yeah.
Rebaeus says, "Here is my first and last present to you." And he creates a huge flashy ball, mm-hmm. which floats down to her. He says, "Use that to remove the sailor soldier from this world. Next time, get me Drakkar." And he disappears. Cohen says, "It's a space-time bomb." And she seems to understand that this will kill her, too, if she uses this.
Yeah.
Ray says, "Get rid of that thing." But Cohen says, "It's too late. You were right. Your kind of love is better. Speaking of love, it's the best love of all. The Love Me Chain!"
I know!
Venus lassos the bomb and throws it into the sky, where Jupiter blows it up with a sparkling wide pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing they went for the bomb, and they didn't just immediately attack Cohen.
Like, I know, right?
Hit her!
Yeah.
Like, if it was Ray, she came in the last minute save, she just would have blasted Cohen, and bye-bye Hikawa Shrine.
There have been
just
many
an empty
times.
Mountaintop.
I know. There have been many times that they've been blasted by friendly fire by Ray.
Yeah, they just come in and shoot first, ask questions later. All the girls and cats are here. Usagi says, "Give up, Cohen." But Cohen is like, "I have nowhere to go. And it's all your fault."
Mm-hmm.
She goes nuts. She throws herself at the Sailor Scouts, sobbing. Ray sees how low that she's fallen. She says, "Stop. Stop it." Jupiter, she's a take charge kind of Sailor Scout.
Yep.
And she preps a giant knee to bash Cohen. But Ray throws herself in front of the blow, absorbing it. Ray somehow does not die from this.
I know.
And says, "It's not too late, Cohen. It's not over. You can make your life better, bit by bit." And we see that Ray is just a mess when she says this. She's burned. All of her ribs are broken by Jupiter.
Yeah, I know.
But she still wants to protect Cohen. "Your future starts now," she tells her.
Mm-hmm.
Cohen is subdued, and Ray says, "Usagi, can you give her the MPH and restore her?"
Mm-hmm.
Usagi's like, "I don't actually know if that would work." But the cats say, "You can use the silver crystal.
Mm-hmm.
It should have enough power to do this." And Usagi uses moon crystal power to refresh Cohen.
Yes.
Sometime later, we're back at Hikawa. We see Rei using a crutch. Her leg is bandaged, and she's yelling at Yuichiro about cleaning the floors. And when he comes, he's going, woo, he's doing the running thing, cleaning the floor. When he comes into frame, we see that he's in bandages from head to toe.
Like, I know!
Like Claude Rains.
That was a great reveal. I didn't notice that the first time.
Work still. He literally, his face is covered by bandages.
I know,
Even Claude Rains had sunglasses. A cosmetic saleswoman appears at the door, and it's Koan.
Yeah.
Now a regular person.
Uh-huh.
And Rei says she's glad she's doing well.
Uh-huh.
The end.
The end.
I guess.
I guess.
The beginning?
The question mark? The end?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like...
Their greatest weapon. Compassion.
Oh, that's so true. Well said, Cal.
I've been watching this show.
I know.
I'm not giving myself a sticker for that. I've been watching this show.
Yeah. Compassion, friendship, forgiveness. Absolutely 110%.
We had this for a little bit with Aelin On in that they were just enfant terrible, basically. You know, they were in many ways, they were terrible children.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're fighting children. And they're thousands of years old, but somehow they're more immature than, you know, these young girls that they're fighting.
Yeah.
And so they're just like, what do love mean?
Yeah.
And so their patience and their compassion with them, you know, meant that they could turn them from friend to foe or the other way around. And everything's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like having like this just dedicated, like basically evil usses trying to fight and being able to redeem them and bring them back, which... Mm-hmm. Is it a sticker? I feel like I predicted that this was going to happen. That's like a total game changer.
Yeah.
And every person that you've killed so far was a murder. Because maybe you could have, who knows, maybe Kunzite could have been turned around. We don't know.
I know.
Wait a minute. We can make people good?
Yeah, I know.
I've been killing all these people.
I know.
I'm a murderer. Dozens of times over.
So they go home at night and be like, I'm
they're
a
just
murderer.
Crying. Luna's like, I don't know what's wrong with her. but I thought that was interesting. And like I said, I don't know if that is going to continue, but I guess it'd be nice if it would. They've traveled through time. We don't really know how. What if the Sailor Scouts get their hands on time travel and they go back in time and like find a baby Koan and...
Oh,
I'm doing the.
Oh no! I thought you were gonna say like they take her.
I'm doing the Thanos throttle thing, but
don't kill.
But
baby
no, I do mean like you know by doing this. So you know, I watched Tenet the other day.
Mm-hmm. Like you rewatched it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm a glutton for punishment, and I actually do think that I enjoyed it a lot more the second time I watched it. I thought it made a lot more sense.
Okay.
There are still things in it that make no sense at all.
Yeah.
And I think that it's funny because it's so much, you know, Nolan, all of his films are about filmmaking. And this is literally taking just like literally like, it's the kind of idea I think that you have when you're in an edit bay and it's 3 a.m. and you're working on a film and you're like, you know, running something backwards because you're trying to get the timing right. And you're like, huh, it's almost like physics, you know, the idea that like the equations that describe physical things, they don't care whether time is moving forward or backwards. It's only us that time moves forward for because entropy will always increase and, mm-hmm. you know, organization will always turn into chaos. But as far as those equations go, they don't care. And when you watch a film and somebody walks into a room, if you run the film backwards, they walk out of the room. What is cause? What is effect? It's like, that's really wonky, Chris. I don't know if you could make an actual story out of that. And insofar as like, there isn't really a story in Tenet, mm-hmm. I think you just basically made, this is a $200 million film school project, basically. Like your midterm project.
Yeah, I know.
That being said,
cool idea.
I did really enjoy it because John David Washington is just charming as hell.
Yep.
And it's fun to watch him do stuff. Why did I bring this up? Because...
Time travel?
Time travel. they are trying to change our past, but if we cure them and make them cosmetic salesmen, hope you like selling cosmetics.
Yeah.
They'll never... It doesn't really change what they've already done because this is their future. Which cannot now affect their past, Hulk. And so if we do that, then we just got four nice ladies that we like that live in our time now. Mm-hmm. But what if like the Sailor Scouts could, they get a hold of the time machine and then they go back and they kill creepy old man when he's a creepy young man.
Right.
And then Planet 10 is like a nice place to live.
I mean, I think, would be great.
I think there's another twist coming for in the time travel to come. Because right now you've got the conceit of they're terminatoring it.
Yes.
They've come back in time. They want to change the past.
Yes.
But there's got to be another flip of the time thing still.
This is my, I can't tell you anything.
That's fine. And I'm not expecting you to, but this is my impromptu, let me throw another, here's what I think is going to happen on the
fire. Any thoughts about Prince Demando?
It's a definite second half villain, kind of like Queen Metalia or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
We'll just suggest that there's some kind of ruler. And then second half of the season, it's like, okay, let's start to get into this. Even though we won't really. She's just a cloud or something, and she's inside of a big egg or whatever.
Yeah, wow.
So I don't know if we'll really, if Prince Demando will turn into anything major that we see. But yeah, we got to have somebody who's pulling the strings on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
The Skynet, yeah, if you will.
Right. I want to know, like, if Rubius is such a badass, why doesn't he capture and kill Chibiusa himself? Because he's a delegator? Because that's beneath him? Or...
But yeah, it is beneath him, isn't it?
I guess.
He's got employees.
Yeah, right.
He wants to... there's at one point, the wise guy talks about, like, they talk about his status or something like that. Because wise guy says, your girls are not getting it done.
Yeah.
And if they don't, you're going to lose status or face. You're going to lose your position.
Right.
So he's management.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't go out and do it.
Yeah, for sure.
And he gets rated... You know, his job performance is relies on, you know, his management skills.
Yeah. And also, I just want to talk about how much of a super jerk he is.
It's terrible, but I kind of like this manipulation. I wish we'd seen this before.
It gives more to
the character. Usually
he
just comes in and goes, all right, angels or devils in this case.
Right.
I'm your Charlie. Here's what you have to do. And I like to see like him trying to play them off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how Pets has been broken up with. And well, I know we'll get into that someday, but yeah. I wish it just played more. I know we'll only deal with it once it,
once it's in
once
our
we
face.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But like he says that Koan is just one of his subordinates. What an absolute tool.
You weren't that good, honey.
Yeah, right?
That's
exactly.
What he's saying.
Do you think that like he's known like this whole time that she has feelings for him and like that's why he's acting the way that he does?
Well, like I said, I wish we'd seen him
right.
manipulate
I,
her.
I agree
but,
with you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I wanted to talk just a little bit too about her fortune that she got at the shrine.
Yeah.
So it's, we talked about this way back in episode 2. It's a omikuji. You shake the sticks and then you get a fortune. And so her fortune said great luck. And it said, your long time wish will come true. And, so I think that, so great luck can also be, Daikichi, which can also be translated as great blessing, which is the best or luckiest omikuji that you can get. And I think that that's really interesting because I think at her lowest point during this episode, she might not agree with this fortune at all. But if you look at the fact that Sailor Moon was able to cleanse Koan and make her a, quote, normal... non-evil woman.
Avon lady.
Yeah, right. And now she has a chance to live a better life, then maybe it really is a great blessing.
What I want to know is, and we have already talked about, and well, I don't know, regretted is the right word, but we've already established that like Japanese spirituality is real. I don't know if God and Jesus and Thor are real, but we know that Rei's powers work. So Shinto exists in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Koan gets a stick that's the good stick that says that something good's going to happen to her.
Yes.
Creepy wise guy says that something terrible is going to happen to her. So what I want to know is there good fortune telling and evil fortune telling? Or does everybody get the same? Because it's like if you predict something that doesn't happen, then you're not a very good prophet, right?
Mm-hmm.
But are they interpreting it
That's
differently?
That's what I think it is.
So
yeah.
Creepy wise guy's like, the worst thing ever is going to happen to her.
She's going to turn to the other side.
Right, but that's in a way, that's the best thing that could happen
exactly.
to her because she's not being, you know, dominated by this horrible clan anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like the Jedi and the Sith. They're always predicting things, but somebody's wrong, right? Because like when Vader talks to Luke and he's like, we will defeat the Emperor, I have foreseen it. Is he seeing a future that could come true if Luke decides to join the dark side and they team up against him? Or is he seeing the death of the Emperor, which is caused by him and Luke working together?
That's true. Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is another one of those things, like, I don't think we'll ever really know. And there's so much talk about luck in this episode. Good luck, bad luck, you know, her getting the fortune.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a really interesting thing that you brought up, too, because I did get a very spiritual, like, religious sense from this, because she's being... I don't even know what the right word is. Like, is she being cleansed? Is this a rebirth? Is this she has risen again? You know,
she is not here.
Yeah,
she is risen.
has she been baptized? Like, I mean,
well, I think it's just
maybe it's just general spiritualness.
I don't think it's explicit, but I think that all that applies. It's just that's what she does. And by she, I mean Usagi. She hits him with the thing.
Right.
They go refresh.
Right. And she says refresh.
And we started that with essentially demon possessed people, right?
Yeah,
she was like exorcising demons. Mm-hmm. And sure, there's a there's an Eastern or a Shinto version of the sort of demon possession thing that we think of in the West with like, you know, the La Yoma or whatever, Catholic Church stuff, which is like we talked about this when we talked about spirituality, there's like spiritual dirt or weight, you know, that's evil or whatever, and you're sort of cleaning that out. And so that's what the refresh is.
Mm-hmm.
How are you refreshing a woman who has basically just chosen to work for the Black Moon Clan because she was born into it?
Right.
I don't know, Usagi does at the end of an episode, and so we just do it to her. They could have easily just said, okay, honey, let's get you into a t-shirt, you know, or something like that, and then like, and just cleaned her up with her wounds and said, hey, if you ever need anything, come back, you know, we'll help you out.
Yeah, but that's not as meaningful.
Maybe there's some dark power that you are imbued with when you live in the Black Moon Clan that does force you to do things. I don't know.
I don't know either. Like, how are they inherently evil, and how is she a quote-unquote normal woman?
She's a bad girl.
I guess.
We talked about how everybody's kind of all over the place in this.
Yeah.
This will be reflected in the rating. I wish this is, like you said before, this is so much about people's motivations. It's so much about like the questioning of love and love or desire being an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, she is the warrior of justice and love or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish that whether it's a dialogue or the translation, we had been a little more clear about the things that they were talking about.
Right. And it's hard to tell when you're watching something that's subtitled. Which is it?
This is one time when I might actually watch the deep dive and see how they interpreted it.
That's not a bad idea, honestly.
It's all the dialogue's cut.
Yeah, right. And it's not that bad.
I knew, just talking about comic books before we move on, I knew Cohen was in trouble when Rey transformed in front of her. It's the old Spider-Man thing.
Yeah, I revealed my secret identity.
Or it was actually a Superman thing, I think, before it was a Spider-Man thing. It's like if somebody learns at the beginning of the episode or of the issue, Clark Kent is Superman? It's like, what's that ticking sound?
Yeah, I know,
that's
right?
Your life clock, buddy.
Yeah.
You are going to die by the end of this installment. And so in this case, she didn't die, but she died to her
the
old
Black
life.
Black Moon Clan,
And was reborn anew.
Yeah.
This is kind of like religious, isn't it?
The more I thought about it, the more I was like, this is kind of religious.
Amen.
Yeah, right. This is not the first time that we have seen Mars act as a human shield. She shielded her grandpa from being attacked by Koan as well.
Right.
And this is kind of starting to be a pattern for her, I feel like.
I don't – all of our girls are self-sacrificing and would lay down their lives for their friends. But I think that there is something very specific about Rey's profession and her choice to be of service, you know, to be a priest or priestess, and to be a defender of people.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, it's cool. It's fine. It's been going on for almost 50 years, but they're called the Avengers. And it's like, what about the defend? I know there's another team called the Defenders, but like you are merely there to inflict pain, like once yeah. something has happened. Yeah. And the funny thing is, it isn't, there's nothing philosophical about it. It just, at the end of the issue, they went, we need a name. And Janet's like, how about the Avengers? It sounds cool. And they're like, great, we're the Avengers. That's literally where the name comes from. Okay. Now, the very talented writers of Marvel Comics and also the movies, the Marvel comic movies, mm-hmm. Have tried to do something with that, you know? Mm-hmm. So they have, like, a tragedy happen, and right. then they talk about how, like, we're here, you know, we're damn sure going to avenge the world if we can't protect it.
Yeah.
So, like, Makoto is an Avenger.
Correct.
Makoto's like, you busted open Sir Friendzone's head.
Yeah.
So I'm coming for your ass. Yes,
no,
know?
That's exactly.
But I like the way fact that Rey is somebody who is like, she's going to put her body on the line to protect people so they aren't hurt.
Yes. And I just, I think that she's really growing on me this watch through as well. Like, I, you know, she's rough around the edges, but I think that she has a lot to do with her not necessarily having the easiest life. We don't really know a lot about her background right now in the anime, but like, she lives with her grandpa and there's been no mention of her parents. That's all that we know for sure right now. That's all I'm going to say. I know more about the manga, but that's okay.
Sure.
That being able to said, I think it's really amazing that she's able to see the potential in people and to give them a chance. And she may not always seem like it because she can be really, really mean to Usagi. But
yeah, the best part is it's all, she's not perfect. It's all wrapped up in a bitchy little package.
Yeah.
But, I love that.
Yeah. But she really is a great friend and someone who will always fight with you and stand by your side. And she's one of Usagi's biggest defenders, I think.
Yeah. So. More or less.
Maybe not.
Backtracking is back for an all-new season. Hi, I'm Caliban.
And I'm Gooey Fame.
And we'd like to introduce you to Backtracking, the podcast that explores the real-world inspirations behind your favorite episodes of Star Trek.
From historical events to classical literature to blockbuster films, we go where no pod has gone before to seek out the origins of classic Trek tales.
Did you know, Gooey, that the TNG episode Too Short a Season was an allegory for the Iran-Contra affair?
Yeah, only sweatier. Did you know that the Enterprise episode Regeneration was an homage to the John Carpenter film The Thing?
Archer and T'Pol freezing to death over a bottle of whiskey would have been a controversial ending.
As a dog lover, Archer would not like The Thing, I'm guessing.
Oh my god, movie night is canceled. Join us every other Thursday for a journey back to the beginnings of the Trek universe.
Backtracking is available wherever you get your podcasts.
No, Porthos!
Today on Kyoro Kyoro Miru, or Curiously Looking Around, where we talk about elements of Japanese culture within the episode, we are doing an ode to koan, where we will talk about door-to-door visits and the trend of yaeba in Japan. More on yaeba in a minute. So door-to-door sales in Japan used to be fairly common, but just like in other parts of the world, it has declined more and more over the last several decades, in large part due to changes in technology and brick-and-mortar retail improvements. Today, it is not very common to have an uninvited visitor at your door in Japan, but there are still several types of visitors that are fairly common to have at your door. I think we've talked about this previously, but the not just the academic, but the fiscal year in Japan also goes from April 1st to March 31st. So this makes the final weeks of March through the beginning of April a period of major change throughout the country. Besides students moving to college or college graduates moving from their school area to the location of their new positions, intra-company transfers and job changes all tend to happen around this same period. This is when the majority of new hires for a company start. So it's just a time of major change in Japan. So with so many people moving to new homes, including many who have never lived independently before, it's a prime time for door-to-door visitors to drop in on you. One of the articles that I read recommended that if someone comes to your door that you did not specifically request, i.e. you called the plumber to fix something, and they are not wearing a delivery company or post office uniform, just don't answer the door.
It's like we saw in, what's that Netflix anime?
Oh, yeah. I was actually trying to think about the name. What is the name of that?
I don't know. It's an anime on Netflix.
I should have had that primed. But anyway, ready to go.
Yeah, it's about con artists, and like the con artist has a scheme where he goes and he tells people about like these water filters. But yes. It actually starts off, it's like, hi, did you know that there's a scam going on right now?
Right.
When you hear somebody say that, that person is a scammer.
Right.
It's like scamception. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they like tell people that they're going to replace their water filters and they can just pay them directly and then they get the money.
Well, you know, it's really interesting that you brought that up, and I probably should have had that anime pulled and ready to talk about. But because a lot of the people who come to your door who you didn't ask for are scammers. Or
the five people related. That come to your door.
Yeah, pretty much.
In Tokyo.
So that's unfortunate. A pretty prevalent kind is the home inspection scams. You're more likely to see this in areas with a lot of university students moving into their first apartments, or possibly areas that have businesses that hire a lot of recent college graduates.
The Great Pretender is the name of the anime.
Yes, thank you.
And they were preying on old people.
Yes, right. So instead of young, naive college students, they were preying on old, trusting people.
Right.
Yeah. In one such scam, students described that maintenance men had been coming to their apartment to examine their fire suppression systems or fire extinguishers. If allowed to inspect, they would then find, quote, serious problems that required restoration.
Oh, there's your problem.
Yeah, right, exactly. That required restoration and replacement, and would utilize the power, their supposed power, to press the residents into paying a lot of money to replace the extinguishers and smoke detectors.
Probably works too, because the Japanese are real respectful of like laws and regulations,
right,
and stuff.
Right, exactly. So that's a common one. Back in episode 48, we talked about how all Japanese households that have at least one TV are required to pay an annual subscription fee utilized to fund NHK.
Right.
And how even though it is technically illegal not to pay these fees, there is no one really imposes the fees and penalties.
Right.
Enter the dreaded NHK representatives, who are perhaps considered to be the most annoying of all the door-to-door visitors. The NHK representatives, which is, by the way, a job that is contracted out to other local companies, so they do not work specifically for NHK.
Right.
They are not authorized to collect payments directly at your door. When they visit your door, they will give you contract paperwork that you then have to use to process payment through a bank or convenience store, etc. If they attempt to collect payment directly, that is a scam.
I never understood the Furies until now. In Greek mythology, the Furies, or the kindly ones, are, their job is to hound you. If you've spilled family blood, it's to hound you until you take your own life.
Yeah.
But they can't kill you themselves. And I'm like, well, that's dumb. What do they call you, fat? Like, what is it that they do that's so bad that makes you, like, finally top yourself? But that's these NHK guys, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They don't actually work for NHK.
Nope.
And they can't actually take any money from you.
Nope.
But they probably just pound on your door and keep showing up until you're like, I'll pay it.
That's exactly it.
Oh, no, you can't pay us.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, if the Furies showed up and Orestes is like, fine, the Furies like, we have a form. You can fill out this and send this.
I love that. You should totally, like, we should totally,
every afterlife is just about bureaucracy.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. The most common door-to-door sales tend to occur in residential neighborhoods, especially if you live in a house. It is not uncommon for a construction company that is doing renovation to go around to the houses in the neighborhood to pre-apologize for the noise and nuisance their work will cause. Speaking of which, this is the kind of work that we do. We will be in the neighborhood, so please let us know if you need assistance with any future projects. Okay,
because it's, that's the sales pitch.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm here to apologize for the inconvenience that our work and noise will cause, but knocking on your door is an inconvenience, so they don't cancel each other out.
We're not going to try to shine a light on that.
So just buy our services.
Yeah, exactly. It is also fairly common for missionaries to knock on your door. The most common missionary groups that were mentioned were Jehovah Witnesses and Foreign Mormons. specifically,
that's my band name. I love Foreign Mormons. Their first album is great.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I don't know how many Japanese people are actually Mormon.
How many buildings in Japan have no windows?
Yeah, right.
That'd be the Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, right.
Plenty of bikes.
But there are actually a fair amount of Jehovah's Witnesses, and I watched a video. Like, there's this one lady, young woman who was a teacher on the JET program and had at least 3 encounters with Jehovah's Witnesses. And like, it was, one of them was like this one lady, and she would not leave her alone. She was like, you know, she said it was kind of like a similar thing. They would get you talking, you know, and she'd be like, okay, what is this about? You know? And like this lady pulled out an iPad, and she's like, I want to show you a video. And she shows her a video, and it's in English, and it's like Jehovah's Witness. And she's like, oh, and then she was trying to be polite. So she was like, well, I'm religious, but I'm not Jehovah's Witness. So no, thank you. And the lady like gave her a card, and she was like, you should look up Jehovah's Witness online.
Think about it.
Yeah, exactly. That was the exact sort of thing.
Well, we're already here. I can't tell you if this is going to be in the Patreon or not, but here's my story. So I went to Hawaii for 2 weeks on a band trip when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And we went to, so there's Oahu, right? Mm-hmm. All the good stuff is on the south side of Oahu for the most part.
Okay.
You can surf on the north shore. There's other stuff up there. Well, there is one thing up there that I didn't know about. The Mormon Tabernacle of something or other. They bought like the top half of the island, basically. So there's this huge facility for the Church of Latter-day Saints up there.
Okay.
And so we were walking around because there's a lot of free time. I don't know why we're not dead, but they released these dumb kids, high school kids in Hawaii. So we're walking around looking for trouble to get into. Mm-hmm. And we see a golf cart, and we see two beautiful girls standing by the golf cart. And they're like, how you doing? And we're like, doing pretty good. And she's like, you guys want to go take a free tour of the island? And we're like, sure, please kidnap us. We don't know any better. So we get in the thing. And to be fair, they did take us around and showed us some beaches and for a little bit, about a half an hour. And then they go, we're going to go to our facility. And we're like, okay, that sounds ominous. And we pull into, here's the big sign. Yeah, it's the temple hall of the things. They bring us into this thing. It's like, it's an ornate, huge building, very nice. And like, we have a film we want to show you. And at this point, my friend was like, I don't know what's going on. I grew up in the Christian church. I know what like evangelicalism looks like.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm just like, let's see your game. Okay. You got me. I can't get back. You have kidnapped me. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
And so they showed us this movie, and it was like, it was like the nativity story, you know, it was about Jesus or whatever. It was actually a pretty well-produced movie. And then they're like, oh, would you like to talk about this and that? We're like, wow, we gotta get back.
Oh, look at the time.
We got a 6 o'clock at the Hard Rock.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But they basically like gave us these forms, and they essentially would not let us go back. They've strongly suggested that we put our information in.
Oh my God.
So we put our information in. I put my real address for some reason.
Oh no.
But I did it. And then we got back on the thing. And like on the way there, they were really nice, and they were talking. So where are you from? They're talking to us and all this stuff. On the way back, nobody said a word. They just took us back. And I think that's because most people are really pissed when they're being taken back to where they were kidnapped from.
You freaking kidnapped me.
They haven't prepared any patter for the ride home because it's you can't patter with somebody who is insanely mad at you. Like I said, I didn't care. I was like, well done. Well done. Don't tell my pastor about this. He'll want to do this. But yeah, so we just rode back in silence, you know, as the sun went down and the rain clouds gathered.
Did they ever contact you?
They absolutely did. Oh, about a week after I got back to the States. I think they called. I don't think they came over.
You gave them your phone number too?
Yeah, it's all on the form. They called. Oh my God. And I was just like, I don't want to talk to anybody. Thank you though.
Okay.
And then they just have to leave you alone.
Well, good. Yeah. I can't believe they actually made you fill out that form. That's pretty terrible.
But anyway, try that. Get a golf cart.
Yeah.
Japanese people.
Oh my God. Yeah. Give that a go.
Japanese Mormons. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Get some, go down to Shinjuku, get some girls in bleach cosplay and be like, check it out.
I wonder how many golf carts they actually have in Japan. They have to have golf courses somewhere.
Well, in those YouTube videos we watched, you know, the streets are really small and we saw a lot of like utility vehicles.
Yes.
That were electric vehicles, you know, Cushmans.
Well,
and things like
that's
that.
True. Yeah, that's definitely true.
All right, moving on.
Junk mail distributors are also common visitors to your door. They just leave their junk mail and leave. Direct mail is still a very popular and effective marketing strategy in Japan. Almost weekly, you'll end up with about a pound of flyers from company.
They're environmentally conscious.
They make you like yes and no, because the trash, we haven't really talked about it a whole lot, but the trash is it's like very sorted. Like this is burnable, not burnable. Okay. This is this kind of recycling. It don't even get me started. And then like, oh, this is stuff. This is just broken.
We're gonna make an island out of this.
Yeah, right. But then they do stuff like this where it's like we're gonna give you a whole stack load of direct mail, and then like you have to pay for your trash removal. So they're essentially giving you stuff that you have to pay to get rid of. I know. But then like another thing. A lot of their snacks are individually wrapped.
Right, right.
It's like, Japan, this is...
And there's
this
direct
is,
mail flyers inside.
Right, right. This is beautiful. This is gorgeous. This is super cute. But why is there so much plastic? Anyways, that's my rant. If you are living in a house, whether you own it or rent it, and in some cases in a smaller apartment building in a residential area... There's a good chance that you will be asked to join the local government organization or Jichitai. It seems pretty similar to a homeowners association, something of that ilk. There are some scams where people will pretend to be Jichitai representatives collecting money. There are legitimate Jichitai members who collect money for the organization. So if you do not recognize the person and sense that it might be a scam, you can tell them that you do not have the cash, but you will bring it to the president's house later. If they insist on collecting right then, that's how you know they're up to no good. Something that I came across multiple times in my research is that at least historically speaking, I thought this was really interesting. In at the very least, in rural areas in Japan, the genkan, which is the sunken entranceway in any Japanese home or apartment where people put on and take off their shoes,
right,
was thought of as being open to the public. So frequently neighbors, so sometimes you would have your door open, but sometimes you would just have your door unlocked. So frequently neighbors or salespeople would enter this unlocked space and call to whoever was inside with a sumimasen, like, excuse me. And I know that Ray lives at Hikawa Shrine, but we do see in this episode that the front door to their living quarters is left open, and Koan does this exactly.
Right.
So this is pretty common. I actually read some things that, like, people had written on boards, like, in the, at least, and then the last decade or so, that people, foreigners living in Japan, had to learn to, be careful to remember to lock their door because they would find salespeople like in their doorway. Right. And then you can't escape. They're there. You don't have the door to squeeze them
and
out.
Then you grab a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And yeah, right.
Exactly. So today, however, people are more likely to lock their door and ignore any unexpected guests. According to a 2016 survey by Kyuzu, I'm not exactly sure, that polled 1,365 people between the ages of 20 to 70, 46.4% of people in Japan ignore knocks on their door or their doorbell when it rings. So it's just, it's people think of it as a nuisance. Unless you're expecting somebody,
sure,
you know, you just ignore it.
Yeah.
So moving on to talking about yaeba in Japan, which literally means double tooth. These are human teeth, especially upper canines, with an uncommonly fang-like appearance. In Japan, it's perceived as a sign of youthfulness and natural beauty. By 2013, it had become a trend where teenage girls would undergo dental procedures to cap their upper canines. This look is something that, of course, frequently happens naturally for many young people as their adult teeth come in and continue to shift into their teen years. It's the double tooth, so it's like your adult tooth comes in, but it doesn't push your baby tooth out. And
extra teeth?
It's double tooth.
I just thought it was like a Kirsten Dunst kind of thing.
No, it's specifically they're talking about like how it like pushes it forward. And
right, and then you get it pulled. So your adult tooth can...
Yes. Right. But
I got a doorknob right here. It's strange.
I know. This is something that's often referred to in the U.S. as a snaggle tooth. The yaeba tends to look slightly like vampire fangs, though not quite as sharp or pronounced.
I thought this chick was like a nine, but that snaggle tooth, you push it right over the edge.
We'll get to it. The trend officially began in 2011 when many young girls wanted to look like the actress and singer Tomomi Itano, who at the time was the lead singer of band AKB48. She naturally had a yaeba. As a side note, I don't know if we've mentioned them before, but AKB48, they're a Japanese idol group. They're named after Akihabara, which is a neighborhood in Tokyo, it's shortened to Akiba for short. So Tomomi Itano has since gotten her yaeba removed. However, young women still go through dental procedures to get yaeba. Dental clinic manager Kazuyoshi Takagi says new patients come in, quote, once or twice a month to get yaeba caps. I have another quote for you from somebody else. Quote, there are many thoughts about why we like yaebas, says Yasutaka Maekawa, author of the book Yaeba Girl. Quote, some say it originated from Japanese traditional aesthetic sense of wabi or wabi-sabi, which means that we find beauty in imperfect shapes.
Yeah, right. The Sammy Hagar's.
Yeah, right.
Tequila.
Yeah. 2YB48, a play on AKB48, was a yaeba all-girl group that started in 2011 to promote a dental clinic. They toured and did...
A cosmetic clinic. Well, right, not getting checkups and flossing to get your teeth done like
yes,
this.
Yes, exactly. They toured and did performances for 2 years. And some of them had yaeba naturally, and some of them had the caps. For a yaeba procedure, the dentist puts a ceramic false tooth over a patient's upper canine tooth. It is situated in a protruding manner, and it is meant to fit like a glove over the actual tooth. Some of these false teeth are fixed with adhesive, while others are made to be removable for sleeping and eating.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Make me look like Jewel.
No, right? So the BBC reported that the price for removable yaeba is around 31,000 yen or $270. If you choose to add a Swarovski crystal, because why not, the cost goes up to 61,000 yen or $540. However, they did not mention if that price was for both of your canine teeth or just one.
Oh, it's definitely one.
Some Japanese men purportedly think yaeba are endearing and cute, even sexy. For others, the slightly crooked double teeth make pretty women more approachable.
Oh my God. That's it. We found
right?
it.
Right?
That's what it is.
Right.
I'm a Japanese male. I have no self-confidence and I can't approach this girl.
She's too pretty.
But she's got crooked teeth, which she's probably embarrassed about, which means I've got a chance. Uh-huh. She's pre-negged.
Oh my God. Ugh. That's gross.
Yeah, I know. I have teeth like Steve Buscemi. Life's all right.
Oh my God.
I'm on a dick train. It's never derailing.
Oh, gross. It's so gross.
This is from anime. Right? Because you said it started like in the 21st century.
See, that's just it.
There weren't like geishas walking. Geishas would never put up with this kind of teeth thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't see them anyway. They're all blacked out. But
well, I mean, this is when it became a popular dental trend.
Right.
Right.
But this is like, you know, the tsundere or whoever in the anime.
Has sharp teeth.
Yeah. They give her the teeth.
You see it a lot.
Yeah. That's what this is.
Probably.
This is like, you know, pretty soon the next trend will be stuff yourself like an anime pillow. Here's how you got a dude.
Oh, my God.
Just women just walking down.
It's so natural. Shinjuku.
Yeah, like the Michelin man. And be like, hey, what's up? She's so soft.
Oh, my God. I just wanted to briefly touch on Koan's net. I think she naturally has Yaeba. But her, my take on this is her hair was designed off of that Moogler look, but it looks like cat ears. So yeah. I think that she was given sharp-looking canines to complement her cat hair. That's what I think.
We'll talk about cat girls someday.
Yeah.
I don't think we have. I want to know the secret behind that.
Yeah.
But that's for the future.
That is. I have a brief language spotlight. I need a better name for this sometimes short segment, but that's what I got for right now.
Okay.
In this episode, Rei and Usagi both call Koan Obasan when she first arrives at Rei's door, which means aunt or middle-aged woman.
Mm-hmm.
Obasan, elongated A there, means grandma or older woman. So careful which one of those you use as
I
well.
Guess, yeah.
One can use Obasan or Obasan for women outside of your family as well as relatives, and these terms can be insulting as you are potentially guessing how old someone is just based on their appearance, and many people do not appreciate that. While Koan is older than Rei and Usagi, she's not really an Obasan, so
yeah.
Obviously it's here for a joke. So
yeah.
Itadakimasu with Usagi. What did Usagi eat in this episode? There's no food in this episode.
Mm.
You can't drink cologne. It's a travesty.
There's parfaits, but it's not really.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
Yeah,
sorry.
But
there are
dumb.
Parfaits.
They've already eaten them, and we've talked about parfaits.
We have. Villain Gauge, where you rate a baddie 1 to 5 dark stars, 5 being the most wicked. No droid in this episode.
Yeah.
So.
I guess if this is the swan song of Koan,
mm-hmm.
then we got to talk about her.
Yeah. Oh, good point. What do you think about Koan? I'll throw it to you, Cal. Thoughts?
Well, she's kind of the first hit that we got, really, of the Ayakashi sisters, wasn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
And she was fierce, got a fierce look.
Yeah, very fierce.
She makes an impression. Right away, we're kind of wondering, like, who this person is, what's going on here, wants to kill Chibiusa, that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
She's got moves. She has, it isn't just like, shoot, my Yoma, my cardigan is destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like, she's literally, like, you know, been shot at with the killing blow of the Moon Princess Elation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we still don't know, like, escaped it or it did hit her or whatever. It's kind of telling that we get to the end of the episode and they're like, well, hit her with a thing. And Usagi's like, I don't know if that's going to work. I've done that a couple times to these guys and it doesn't seem to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, she's strong. She's got cool powers. She's, you know, got a fiery sort of personality that goes with her fire abilities. I think it's solid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we doing ratings?
Yeah, let's do ratings. How many dark stars?
Well, you haven't talked about
it. Oh, okay. Yeah, Koan is strong too, very strong. And no, I love her design. I love the Moogler look. Her hair is awesome. I love that it's purple. I love how incredibly vain she is.
Yeah, she gave us pet, 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 pet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think that the Ayakashi sisters are all kind of vain, but Koan might be the vainest of them all. And I think we she's one of the ones we probably know the best, I think. And I really like their dynamic all together as siblings and how bickering they are with each other. And yeah. I like that she's the opposite of Rey, that she's got her dark fire. And I like the nail thing too, like that we saw in this episode, that her nails like grew super long and sharp. Like I wish like to see more of that. I guess my one thing is like now that Koan is a good guy. Like, I'm kind of sad I don't have Koan as a bad guy. Yeah, girl.
Woman.
I'm kind of sad that she's not an evil woman anymore because she was such a good foe.
I also think it's interesting that her story is specifically about love and her mm-hmm. being lovelorn, at least in this episode it is. We didn't really know about it before this.
Right.
And she's paired with Rey, who doesn't reflect her situation at all. All the sailors, scouts, true. Have love in their own way. They have some kind of frustrated, you know, love. Except for, I don't think Ami ever thinks about the psychic kid, but that's fine.
Yeah, I know.
And so, like, you know, that kind of parallels more to a Minako situation.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Or a Makoto situation.
Yeah.
Rey's the one person who's like, yeah, she dated Mamoru and Uchiha's still hanging around for some reason, but mm-hmm. she's not every day going out there and being like, oh, I gotta get that.
That's true.
I gotta get that boyfriend.
Yeah.
And so maybe that makes her the perfect person to talk Koan down off the ledge.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily mirror each other.
That's true.
I'm not criticizing that. I'm just pointing that out.
Not a perfect foil in that way, I guess.
Well, but, I mean, if you're thinking about being a foil, maybe she is the perfect foil.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good point. So what would you rate Koan?
I give her 4 dark stars.
Okay.
I think it's strong to very strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I have to, I struggle because it's like, do I give her a 4 or do I give her a 5? This is what I'm doing. I'm just, it's the scales. But I think I have to, I guess, who is my 5? Zoisite. I think I have to give her 4. Mm-hmm. Because... Wow, Zoisite is just, you know, so...
Well, we spent a lot of time with Zoisite.
That's true. We did. But I really love Koan. I love the Ayakashi sisters. And I think they're fantastic villains. And I think she's fantastic. So, yeah, I'm happy for her that she's going to have a better life now, but I'm sad that we're not going to have evil Koan around
they
anymore.
They discontinue the makeup she sells or whatever, and she ends up living back in a refrigerator box.
For Sabu Dabu, we talk about the most interesting differences between the sub and the dub. In the dub, the part where... So when I read this, it said that Minako did this, but it could have just as easily been Makoto.
Well,
don't know.
It was
could you
somebody's,
tell from the fingers?
It was somebody's left hand, yeah. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it could have been Minako. It could have been Makoto. It probably was Minako.
So
you don't flick somebody else's cat.
Yeah, right.
Flick cats, period. But.
Well, yes, I agree with you. Don't flick your cats, everybody. This is a PSA. But when Artemis gets flicked in the face and in the nose. That was cut. However, he was still seen grasping his face in pain right afterwards. So
that's... ice cream headache.
Yeah, right. Exactly. In the Deke dub, Koan's voice actress in this episode is Mary Long. She replaced the previous voice actress for Koan, Alice Poon. Starting with this episode, Koan speaks in a Brooklyn accent.
What?
And has a deeper and coarser voice.
Forget changing horses midstream. Like, you're about to step on the opposite bank, and you're like, fresh horse.
I think people didn't know what it was. Like, the English dub for Sailor Moon, I mean, granted it was Deke, and then it was Cloverway, and then Stars was Viz.
Yeah. Someday we'll talk about Cloverway.
Yeah, we'll get there. That's seasons 3 and 4, yeah. So we'll get to sloppy Cloverway. We'll have to come up with something better sounding than that. But, Yeah, there are a lot of different voice actors that played all of the characters, so it's not super surprising.
You want some makeup, honey?
I know! So I don't know why the Brooklyn accent.
Harley Quinn was really hot at that time. I mean, she's hot now, but...
Do you think that's what it was?
Everybody's like, oh, we got to do the Arlene... What was her name?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's Arlene, because that's why it's Harley Quinn. Anyway.
Oh, I can't remember.
It's the lady from the soap opera.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Look it up. This isn't the Batman show. It's a Sailor Moon show.
Sailor Noob Moon show. Yeah. So
Bat Noob. Interesting. Write that down.
What was the compact, the bat symbol?
Batman, the animated noob.
That's a good one.
Interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot we could look at there.
Now, sure. I am the master.
Yes. And I am
the knight.
And I am the noob.
Vengeance. I am Batman.
And I'm Robin? I don't know. I have a couple of trivia for this episode well. So, of course, we mentioned already that this is the first episode that mentions Princeau Dumando.
Yes.
this episode was the first where moon crystal power is utilized, no makeup, to heal or purify somebody.
Right.
And we also talked about at the beginning of this episode, the shop that Koan was coming out of was Ota Fukuya,
yeah.
Which Berthier took over in episode 61. Otofuku literally means in Japanese, quote, much good fortune. Yeah.
Okay.
I forgot to talk about this before.
Okay.
And ya is a suffix that is often added to the end of a shop name, and it literally means ya. So literally the store is called Much Good Fortune Shop.
Ya?
Yeah. Yeah, right. as another example, a bento ya is a bento shop.
Okay.
In the scene where Koan bumps into Yuichiro when they are out shopping, as she grabs her bag back from him, there is a single frame of a chibi Zoisite, which morphs into a more abstract chibi figure who is bald with tears streaming down its face and is wearing a shirt that says Zoisite in hiragana.
Wait, what?
Yes, you asked me about this. You sent me a frame and you were like, what is this?
Yeah, I didn't. It's Zoisite?
Right before the frame you sent me, it is literally a single frame. It is very hard to find. There is a chibi Zoisite. I took a screenshot of it, but I have paused my playback. So there's a play button in the middle of it. But you can find it online.
Well, I'll get my editing wheel out and we'll just roll back and forth frame by frame.
Yeah. So it's a chibi Zoisite, and Zoisite is either blowing a kiss or doing a peace sign, and then there's a little heart. And then that figure, it morphs into a disformed chibi figure.
Who's like,
Who's like crying, and then it says Zoisite in hiragana.
Why?
I don't know. Zoisite was popular. Shrug. Also, possibly an Easter egg, but like you think about it, this is in the 90s. How are you gonna like pause that VHS tape, or if you're watching it on TV?
So they're just mischievous animators?
I don't know.
It's kind of like, we've had weird things before, like the Luna head transitions and things like that.
Yeah.
And it comes when she hits him with the bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, speaking of Batman, it's kind of a Pow, Biff, or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, right.
Only within the world of the show, they're like, well, we're not going to use a onomatopoeia. It's just some kind of bit of iconography from the show.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And so they use the best character who's ever been on the show. That's so weird.
I know.
But at the same time, you don't want to suggest that like Zoisite is hanging around. Do you know what I mean? Like
I know, right?
He's gone to his rest and his reward.
Yeah, right,
I don't
exactly.
I want to see him again.
No, we're done. Good day, sir.
He's a little imp.
Yeah, I love Zoisite anytime. So we talked about this before too, but when Usagi was reading her manga Hikawa Shrine, she was reading an issue of Run Run with Sailor V and Artemis on the cover. Later in the same scene, Usagi and Chibiusa appear on the cover of one of the manga piled next to her. So
it doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
That's fine.
Yep.
It's they're fine. All, why don't they just read to the end of the book and go, no, guys, we cure koan. So we gotta get ourselves into the, no, you're going to have to be burned. Sorry about that. You, boy, you're messed up. But
Makoto, you're still going to have to like kick.
Yeah.
Or like
try to
knee.
Pull your kick a little bit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Don't hit Mars quite so hard. So now we are up to our rating. I think that the more I thought about this episode, I overall really liked it. I think that Rey really shines, especially when she sees the potential goodness in Koan. Their fight is brutal, but well done. Rubius is a dick, and I know we are supposed to hate him, but wow, that worked really well.
Yeah.
I was kind of torn because I feel like overwhelmingly, like, I really liked this episode. But I feel like you, that it was not necessarily super cohesive. So if I'm going with my gut, when the more that I'm talking myself into it, I think instead of giving it the 4 that I feel like I want to give it, I'm going to give it a 3.
3. 3 yeah. It is. 4.
Oh, shut up.
I sat down tonight ready to give it a 3, 100%.
Taking my 3 back.
A pleasing pastime, a bit of a bauble, a curio, but no more. And the more that we talked about it, the more that we pointed out, or you pointed out, all the things that were connecting within it. Even the coming out of the store, Ofuda, you know, and her fortune sort of being on the line and her destiny.
Yeah.
And realizing how much they put into this. Like that, you know, watch an episode of Steven Universe. They're doing that kind of stuff. I don't know. But that's like that they crafted this into a thing, you know, and they meant to do it. Now, the only drawback, the only sad part is that it has to happen in 22 minutes.
Yes.
Because this is a kid's show. It's a Saturday morning cartoon. So you don't know if the kids have seen the other stuff. You know, you can't do any continuity.
Yeah.
You have to kind of just do it now. And so I wish that stuff like this had been built up over time. But counterpoint, I just watched an episode of Picard, the new CBS All Access Trek show.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about it on a different podcast. Backtracking, if you're interested. And that all those shows now are all just, you know, a 10-hour movie that's cut up into hour segments. And I watched it and I had no idea what was going on. I had to remember all the things that happened in the 6 episodes before. And I was like, remember when you could just sit down and watch an episode of Trek? That time is gone. So I don't mind it. This is how they do it. They know what their medium is. They know who their audience is. They get it all done. It's absolutely a 4.
I'm okay. Someday, I want to change it to a 4.
Hey,
I want to change it to 4.
On the Animated Noob, you get to go second, so you can change your things based on my ratings.
That's not what I was doing.
But not on this show.
Anyways,
not on
my
this show.
English title is Koan's Luck, Different Path Forward.
Koan's Luck! Exclamation point.
Yeah,
different
right.
Path Forward.
Yeah, right. I should have done exclamation point.
My Deke title is Maybe She's Born Again With It.
No. That's pretty good.
Would you like to take a tour of the island?
Oh my God, no. Next episode, we are talking about episode number 71. Yujo no Tame, Ami to Beruche Geki Totsu in Japanese. For friendship, Ami vs. Berthier, the English translation, and the English title, Checkmate.
Checkmate.
Yeah.
All right. It seems like we're just, the dominoes are falling.
What do you think?
Knocking them down. Yeah. To check, you need a king.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And to checkmate, there's a king involved in chess. Of course,
that's
the
true.
Queen is also very important.
Yes.
In chess. So, but it's a brainy sport.
It is.
Can you imagine like Ami as the Beth Harmon? And it's just like, there's no drugs. There's no drinking. She just wins the chess match and goes back to her hotel room and just sits until the sun comes down and comes back up.
I can, actually. And it makes me really sad.
Yeah.
Does her homework.
Yeah, right. Oh. Hey, quit doing your homework. Take some of these drug pills. She's like, oh, no, thank you. I have a match.
Right. She'll be
after
very,
cram school.
Very polite about it. Right, exactly. Well, that's our show for this week, and the name of the moon will be punishing you next week with another episode of Sailor News.
Amen!